I want to thank our very appropriate sponsors, Mess and Candlelights. We thank them very much for their sponsorship, and I believe that they have some commercial handouts, which the shul neither endorses or condemns. We have no comment on that. We're just not making any comments. A chumash. No one gave me a chumash. You read a sadaros. So the opening of our parsha, in case one is curious about the topic, our parsha begins, well-known parsha, well-known components of the parsha, but the opening of the parsha begins, V'yidaber Shem Moshe Lemor, Da'aber al-Aaron v'amarat aleyah b'ha'aloscha el ha'neiro, esaneiros, excuse me, el mul p'nei menor ye'iru sheva esaneiros. That when you will go up and you will kindle, when you will light the lamps of the menorah, etc., etc. Now this, of course, is not talking about Shabbos candles. This is talking about the menorah in the base of Mikdash. However, the Yalkut Shemoni on our parsha, Remez Tuf Shin Yotes, tells us in on this pasuk, for a power of Shabbos candles, if you'll keep the Shabbos candles, says Hashem, I will bring the Neros Shel Tzion. That the power, there's something in the power of candles that has the possibility for a national geula. This would seem perhaps as the a fitting partner to the famous Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chaf Gimel of Haragel Baner. We'll be zochet to have Ban of Tamidah Chachamim, a certain personal skula or personal geula. So there's something very special about Neiros, both on a personal and a national level. We mentioned that the Medrash uses our pasuk of the Parsha to connect to Hadlakas Neiros. However, according to the overwhelming majority of authorities, this is really, and other pasukim like it, are really only an asmachta, because as the Rambam says in Parakei, Halacha Aleph and Choshabbos, Neiros Shabbos are only a chiyuv midivrei sofrim. However, it's worth noting that despite that being the overwhelming majority halachic position, there are other sources. For example, the Medrash Lekach Tov Avayakel talks about it as a Kabbalah biyadenu mi Moshe Rabbeinu. So, it's not exactly clear what that means, but it certainly may mean a lot more than a midivrei sofrim. Moreover, the Sefer HaChasidim quotes in the name of the Tshuvas Rabbeinu Meshulam, was all sorts of remazim for Hadlakas Neiros from Psukim in the Torah. Again, it's not clear if that's just meant as asmachtas, or did he see it as something more definitive. However, the one source that they do quote in Rishonim who does seem to hold that Neiros Shabbos are da'araisa is the Sefer HaYireim, Rabbi Lazar Mimitz, one of the Bali Atosvis, and he holds it's min haTorah. So, what's the source? So his lashon is Gemiri Gamru. It sounds like there's just a Mesorah. And then Samchua the Psukim and Navi and etc., which is the Psukim that the Rambam and others quote as the actual Makaros. So, Ruch official Perlau has a discussion of this. Lamaisa, the majority opinion is that's Midivrei Sofer, Midrabanan, Midivrei Kabbalah, however you want to put it, but there are some indications that perhaps others will say that it's more. Since the Parsha does begin in the immediate context of the Menorahs HaMikdash, I wanted to start off with mentioning a famous and essential machlokes about the mitzvah of lighting the candles in the Mikdash, and I use that as a segue to get into some of the important questions of Neiros Shabbos. The psukim in Shmos and Tetzaveh in Perech of Zayin, Pasuk of Aleph, the opening of Tetzaveh is talking about the menorah and the lighting of the menorah in the context of the Mikdash. And later on, three psukim later in Perech Lamed, there the Torah talks about Behetevo, Behetivo Beneros, the Hatava, which is the preparation, cleaning out, etc., of the wicks, etc., to making the menorah preparation. In light of these two parshas, one about the hatava and one about the actual lighting, the hadlaka, so there's a discussion about what actually has to be done by the kohen. The Rambam in Hilchos Bias Hamikdash Perek Tes Halacha Zayin says that the hatava must be done by a kohen. B'di'evit, if a non-kohen does the hatava, is possible. However, the Rambam says Hadlaka can be done by a zar. And he says it in such a way that the Ravid says, it sounds like from the Rambam, that it's l'chachila even, the hadlaka can be done by a zar. So the Ravid agrees, b'di'evet, if a non-Kohen would have done it, it is okay for hadlaka, which is itself already surprising. That is a difference now between the hatava, which is only the preparations one would have thought, and the actual hadlakas ha-menorah. But he says, l'chachila, that should be done by a Kohen, but b'di'evet, he admits that a zar would be kosher for hadlaka saneros. Now there's a Gemara in Yuma that says that hadlaka lava voda, But again, one would have thought that at most it means what the Ravid said. It's hard to really understand that the Rambam seems to imply that l'chachila, even a non-Kohen can light the candles. So, Rav Chaim Brisker has a very famous piece on this machlokas, and essentially Rav Meir Dan Plotsky in the Kli Chemda and Parshas Tetzava has a similar analysis, and they basically say as follows. Or the menorahs? Why not?
That's on the kosher. I mean, the Zohar can't even go in there.
Menorahs in the kosher ketuvah?
That's on the kosher ketuvah.
Right.
The kosher and the hayfal. The Zohar can't even go, couldn't.
Who said?
I don't think
there's
a lot to go in.
You'll take a look. Take a look at the Rambam. So Reb Chaim says as follows. According to the Rambam, the actual Maisa Hadlaka is in a mitzvah. The mitzvah is not hadlakas neiros hamikdash. It's not the mitzvah. But rather, the mitzvah is that the candle should be lit. You need neiros dolkos. You don't, there's no mitzvah of a maisa hadlaka. It just has to be that the candles are lit. So how do we make, what is the beginning of that process is when you prepare, when you do the hatava. So that's called, if you will, the mitzvah. And therefore, that's why that must be done by a kohen, because that sets the process in motion. But it's really only a process. The fundamental mitzvah is not any given action. It's really that you should have lit candles. However, so that's why only the hatava has to be done by a kohen, because that sets up that the whole process is in motion by the kohen. But since there's actually no mitzvah of a maisa hadlaka, that's why the Rambam says even l'chachila, a zar, a non-kohen, can light the menorah. The Ravid who holds that it's really only bidyeved, so here it's not as clear, but perhaps, he argues fundamentally. He may hold that, in fact, the hadlaka is the mitzvah. Now, if you go that far, then it's hard to understand why even bidyeved it would work. And the answer, l'chaura, is that as long as you have a kohen doing that hatava, apparently that's enough. That gets a little bit more into what does that mean, hadlaka lava voda, which would get us a little bit off our topic. But it could very well be that this machlokas is revolving around this very fundamental question. Is there a mitzvah to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? Or is it just that the menorah is lit? You understand the difference? Is there an action that's obligatory? Or is it just a desired result? That's worth noting that, first of all, they also point out that's why the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos does not quote the pasuk of Bahalos Chasaneiros as the mocker. When he talks about the menorah, rather he quotes the pasuk about hatava. So you see that the Rambam obviously holds that the closer the heart of the mitzvah is not the actual lighting itself, despite the fact that what we commonly our common perception, rather it's the preparation, as they say, for that purpose.
So there's no inyan lishma
that a person has to light it lishma. Right. I just want to point this out as a parallel, the Chazon Ish. You get it's not uncommon that this should happen. You know, the Chazon Ish did not express, I don't think, not that I know of, I've read anywhere at least, comprehensively a methodology of learning. Yet it's pretty clear retrospectively when you learn his general sefer, and particularly if you have the version of the Reb Chaim that has the Gilyonos HaChazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish had a completely different style of learning. Complete. I have the recurring impression when I read one of the Gilyonos of the Chazon Ish on Reb Chaim, because they're usually questions that he had on Reb Chaim's Kiddush, not that Reb Chaim could have come up with an answer. I mean, of course Reb Chaim. But he wouldn't even have bothered by the questions. My impression often reading Reb Chazon Ish there is, so what? Not that in theory it's not a good question, but that he was worried about things that the Reb Chaim wasn't. Reb Chaim has a whole beer on the Rambam and he'll ask a question from a Tosfos. It's just, it was a different way of looking at things. Yet, despite that fact, very often they end up saying the same things. They came at it from different perspectives. So the Chazon Ish on his comments in Menachos has the same vort in Menorah, that also it's just a mitzvah that it should be lit. And therefore, to paraphrase a somewhat well-known and controversial story from a little over a year ago, or a little under a year ago in New York, even a monkey could light the menorah. And I don't think that he meant it as anti-human. That's what, that's what the Chazon Ish says. Afilu ma'isa kof. Maybe that's too controversial. I don't know. I'm assuming yes. That's what I'm assuming. Yeah, I'm putting those two together. Now this should be contrasted with the fact that Unkulus on our parsha, Bahalos Asaneiros says Unkulus Ba'adla Kuscha. See, he sees, he puts in the word lighting, right? That's where the article got the translation of when you kindle, right? That's not what Bahaloscha means if I would have translated Hebrew. But he's following the Unkulus. The Unkulus said Ba'adkaluscha, when you will light it. So the Eben Ezel, that's Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, and his comments on the Rambam, so he discusses this Unkulus, and he says it's not a problem for the Rambam. Because even that, still Ba'aloscha, that's what he calls a, I'm not sure what the correct English word for this, but it's not an active verb. It's not a tzivoy, it's a shein poel, meaning when you will light it up. It does, it's not prescriptive. It doesn't say yadlik, the neros. It's Ba'aloscha, when they'll light it. So he says that's not a problem for the Rambam, because again, most of the time it will be Aaron or his descendants lighting. The point is that the Rambam does not hold that it has to be, because that is not an essential part of the mitzvah. So moreover, if you look at, say, for a chinuch, who often follows the Rambam, again, it's not a mukhrach raya always, but it's a good always test when you're unsure about a Rambam. The Sefer HaChinuch is explicit. He says, Lihios ner daluk. He doesn't say you have to light it. He says it has to be lit. And therefore, perhaps it doesn't matter. And that's, in fact, the same diuk that Minchas Chinuch makes, and Eben Ezel makes this point there. It just has to be lit. There's no mitzvah to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this should be contrasted, just to give you a sense that there's other perspectives. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Chanukah says that the Nusach HaBrocha is Lahadlik, right, as we're all familiar. And the Taz there says, because it's patterned after the Mikdash, and just like there's a mitzvah to light the menorah in the Mikdash, so too Chanukah, which is commemorating that mitzvah, has to be Lahadlik, to light. So he sees apparently that in the Mikdash it was Lahadlik, meaning focusing on that it has to be, there's a mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros, that it was actually lit, and not just that it, you light them, not just that it was actually lit. So the question is, what about, if that's an important question, which we're only doing partial justice to when it comes to the Mikdash, what about Shabbos candles? So the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed Halacha Hei says, V'yehei ner daluk. So if we were medayik on that, it sounds like the Rambam himself, at least in this context, is not focusing on any action, but rather just that it should be lit, which, if this is accurate or not, if this is accurate, then this would be consistent with what he said, as Reb Chaim understood him, about the menorah. The Rav Yoh in Simin Kuf Tzadites compares Nero Shabbos not to the Mikdash, but to Chanukah candles, and says, well, since we say Lahadlik for both, therefore the Maisa Hadlaka is the mitzvah, and therefore you need a Bar Chayuva, right? Not a Maisa Kof, not whatever a czar would be in that case, someone who's not chayiv in it. Rather, you need a maisa hadlaka, because the nusach habracha is lahadlik. The Prima Gadim says the same thing. On that taz we just mentioned about Chanukah and the mikdash, he says, well, don't forget about the third person here. There's three kids in this family. It's Nero Shabbos, and it's also lahadlik there too. So if you're going to be medayik in the nusach and Chanukah, you have to be medayik in the nusach of Shabbos. So there's a whole other school of thought. It says, well, maybe it is the maisa hadlaka. It's not just enough that the candles are lit. A concrete, very important halachic nafkamina, where this will be fleshed out in Hilchos Shabbos, is the following discussion, which takes place in Tosfos. Tosfos in Shabbos, Tachafayam and Beis, discusses the following shayla. Again, imagine it much more like this scenario in the pre-electricity days. You have a candle that's already lit from Friday morning. And parenthetically, Tosfos doesn't mention this, but this is a halacha that, even though in theory we have such a thing as early Shabbos, you're not allowed, early has a limit, that's plag hamincha, an hour and a quarter before Shkia. Before that, it's too early. You'll note that that's why always we give a time on the Shabbos schedule in the summer for, quote, early candles. In theory, there's no such thing. You could light not just at 6:45, if that's when Mincha was, you could light at 7:15 too. The point is you can't light before 6:45. That's the time we give you, is the Plag of Mincha time. So let's say you have, though, candles lit in the afternoon. You need light in the house. You have a candle lit from 12 in the afternoon. But it's a big Yahrzeit candle. It's still lit. Can you just wave your hands and make a bracha of the Hadlik Nesho Shabbos on that candle? That's the question. So Tosfos has two deos. The first opinion that Tosfos quotes is Enchanami. No problem. Candle was lit, make your bracha. Or I take that back to be a little bit more precise, because I don't want to get into this issue, but that opinion actually says you don't make a bracha on Shabbos candles. As shocking as that sounds to what we're used to. But, so leave that aside, I was not precise there. Point is, he says, that's your mitzvah. Boom, you have a candle lit on Shabbos, as long as you have candles lit, that's fine. Comes along Rabbeinu Tam, this is what you're talking about. you have to blow that candle out and you light it right again. It can happen spontaneously almost. But you still have to do it because you need to have, you have to light it for Shabbos. And again, the machlokas is, now we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, just in case this is a relevant shaila for anyone. It is relevant, I would say, just the where it would be relevant is electricity. I don't want to chazer over things we've studied on Friday nights in the winter, but electricity in a modern day is very much part of the mitzvah. And if you have the lights already on, so maybe you'll get a covered Shabbos or you'll get something from it, but that's not a ma'isa hadlaka, if you will. That's why we turn them off, and then we turn them on specifically lechavod Shabbos.
Don't get that's that how you tie up the word tumid in this fashion. If you hold tumid, it means a daily occurrence or a constant being. So if it's a constant being, it has to be lit, it can last today for the whole week, for the whole month, for the whole year.
I wouldn't say it's dependent. I wouldn't say it's dependent on that. I think that's a different issue, but it is analogous. You're right. It's analogous. That's a similar point. It's a similar point. And Chanami, do you have to light it? Does it have to be specifically for this? What I would say again, but the issue that it's dependent on is very much this. Your question about, because that's talking about the Mikdash. That's Tully in Reb Chaim Rambam Ravid. I'm saying it's by way of analogy. It's true about Shabbos too, and this is the machlokas. I think it's clear in Tosfos. If you hold that you need a ma'isa hadlaka, then you need to blow it out like Rabbeinu Tam. If you hold this enough, that you should have a lit candle. So then, as long as it was lit,
it's also like Passover Lemon, also similar a little bit.
Again, correct, but that's when you need to do something. And Chanami, okay, and Chanami. So when you, if it's, again, now it's not exactly the same thing, but it's an analogy. It's an analogy. It's a good analogy. Okay, another example. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that has an ambiguous line. Ambiguous because we're not sure what area of halacha it's referring to. But the comment is that you shouldn't light too early or too late. Now what's unclear, it's a machlokas rishonim, is that comment just about Hilchas Chanukah, right? You can't light Chanukah too early. And there's also a shir at the end. You know, I mean, again, in modern days, we live such a late, we keep such a late night, so it's a very elastic now. But Mikra Din, there's a end time for Chanukah licht also. Ashitecha reglam and ashok. Or is that referring to Shabbos? Now, Shabbos, that you can't light too late, so that's obvious. It's Chil Shabbos. Light too early, maybe you'll say that's must be Plaga Mincha. Don't light before Plaga Mincha. It's not clear. If you look, the Rambam never quotes this Gemara, this Memra, in the context of Hilchos Shabbos. He just quotes it in Hilchos Chanukah. Others, like the Shulchan Aruch, do apply this specifically to Hilchos Shabbos. Don't light after Shkia, obviously, and don't light before Plaga Mincha. And the Meiri quotes, the Meiri summarizes, he says, there's some Rishonim will hold it like this, some Rishonim will apply it also to Shabbos. There is such a machlokas. Well, no, let me. So now, how does this, perhaps it doesn't, but perhaps this machlokas is connected as well. We just talked about getting too late. Now what about too early? Namely, the more you see there being a mitzvah to actually light, a ma'isa hadlaka, so then it's much more understandable that there should be, like we have in many halachos, when that ma'isa has significance and when that ma'isa doesn't have significance. But just like the first day in Tosa said, you could have a candle that was lit, ner daluk, so if that means if you can have a candle that you lit at 12 to have some light in the basement, you could just leave that all the way through, haraya, you see, according to that day in Tosa, there's no such thing as too early on Shabbos. You're not yotzei before plug. But as long as it stayed lit after, it doesn't matter when you lit it. And that may be why, again, the Rambam never quoted this halacha by Hilchos Shabbos, because as we said from Perek Lamed, the Rambam just says, ner doluk. If you hold, you need a ma'isa, then there has to be, when does that ma'isa have significance? Right? Shaking lulav now has no significance, because there's a mitzvah to have shake the lulav. But if you'll say, it's just that you should have light on Shabbos, so who cares when you lit it? The point is, if it blew out before plug, you can't say, oh, but I had it on Friday. Yeah, but Friday's not Shabbos. But as long as it goes through until Shabbos, then it will be okay. Who cares when you started? So that's another area, again, where this would be perhaps relevant. One final issue, and that is the following case. The immediate context that the Magen Avraham discusses this is we know Nabuch, the Jews were so poor that they sometimes would make a wedding on Friday afternoon so they could double up the Suda. So let's say the Suda is going to be running late and the Kala does not want to get up from the dancing to go light Shabbos candles. Maybe she didn't want to change her dress. I don't know, whatever the details were. So what does she do? So the Magen Avraham says, have a goy light the candles bizman. And when she's finished with all of her dancing, 3 hours later, she can make a bracha, exactly.
I thought the Suda was under Suda Shabbos.
So maybe they started the Suda early, or maybe she's the dancing, whatever. She's for tumult in the chasana. Kalas have been known to do that. The Magen Avraham says again, don't worry about the wedding, because it's irrelevant, other than that it makes it more interesting. The bottom line is, let's say someone's running too late. Right? That could happen to any of us, certainly during the winter. Right? We're running late. So what do? You didn't light it yet. Oh no, and I'm in the shower and I just remembered. Oh no. So if you have a guy, you have a cleaning lady or somebody, you call her and say, light the candle, says the Magen Avraham. No, right before Shabbos. Write them at the time, meaning before the time. You're not going to make it right before Shkia. You know, we don't like Ramanish Marshals. Either way, the point is, his point is even at Shkia, that's the last time you could have relevance to it. It says, you tell the guy light now, and then when she gets out of the shower or she finishes her wedding, whatever it is, then she can make a bracha. That's a psak of the Magen Avraham. Okay, Nishka Farlach. She'll close her eyes then. But that's the whole issue with, she'll close her eyes then. So this psak, as you can imagine, is very, very controversial. Many of the other Nasekelim and Achronim go, whoo, don't like it at all. Don't like it at all. Rabbi Kiva Eger discusses this. The Nesivos, right, the Nesivos HaMishpat, we're familiar with him from his comments in Chosha Mishpat, and some know that he also has a Sefer which is called Kilas Yaakov on Evan Ezer, not to be confused with the Stipler. He also has a Siddur, the Siddur Derech Chaim, which is a very important source of halacha. That's where most of what we know from the Nesivos on Or HaChaim is in that Siddur. He also has a Sefer Hilchos Chametz. But that is the, or Hilchos Pesach in general, I can't remember, but something for Chodesh Nisan. But he has a Siddur Derech Chaim, which he has halachos in. Many, many important halachos. So he goes, how could this be? Ein Shlichus La'akum. Kiv Eger says, what are you talking about? Ein Shlichus La'akum. Prima Gadam asked, I don't understand. Like you were exactly bothered. By the time that she comes out of the shower or whatever, it's already Shabbos. She herself is not allowed to light it then. So what shaykhus does she have to make a bracha on it? The whole thing doesn't seem to make any sense. So, leave aside had if Enfert, I'm not here to discuss who's right and who's wrong, but l'cha'ora, it's clear that driving this machlokas, at least in part, is our issue. Apparently, according to Magen Avraham, there is no mitzvah of Maisa Hadlakas Neiros. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who very often takes Magen Avraham Shitas, as he's being Mavir the Magen Avraham, he said, like he's bavarning, and you'll tell me, Ein Shlichus La'akum, that's only when you have a Maisa that has to get done. But here it's not that the Maisa has to get done, you need Ner Daluk. So therefore, who says Ein Shlichus La'akum, it's okay. You'll make it lit. Doesn't matter if it was lit by a Maisa Kof, as we saw from the Chazon Ish, or a guy, or anybody else, and you were going to ask about a cotton, so what? What's the difference? If you hold it, it doesn't matter. But Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Nesivis who are asking about Shlichus, so they obviously hold that it is a din that you have to have a Maisa Hadlaka, and that's why they don't understand. How could the Maisa Hadlaka of the guy help? Maybe I'm Pater Alts Onis, whatever it is. But you don't just say, give it to a guy. I can't shake Lulav. Okay, the guy will shake for me. I mean, it's absurd. So again, leave aside whoever, right or wrong, whatever the other factors there might be. One underlying issue, I think, is definitely this factor. In general, you're asking.
Yeah,
on the, you mean in general?
About
so leave aside the nusach, because the nusach is for sure a problem then.
Right.
But you're saying, just then, why should there be a bracha? So the answer is, sometimes we have such a concept, you make the bracha on hana from the or, which we're going to get to now, what is the purpose of candles. But perhaps that's it. But there's no question, I didn't even get into the nusach, there's a whole discussion, there's a Yerushalmi that has the word covered in it. There is a whole literature, the Beis Halevi Tshuva, it's a literature about the nusach of bracha, we're just not going to have time for it, so I didn't even put it on the sheet. But there's no question, you're right, that is in terms of a general orientation, the bracha in general, and certainly our nusach, certainly work better. So, not, Mestama, there's an answer, but the Motzi Aleihem, Lahavi Raya, yeah.
Somebody bring the raya from the mitzvah makkah.
Because makkah is not going to do with chalakas neros.
Yeah, but the fact is that the nusach avoch is to make the makkah, even though the ikker mitzvah is the.
You're assuming. Who said?
Right.
Mirtz Hashem, one day in our kedushin shir, we'll get up to these sligas. This is after the Mishnah and Daf Chav Tes. There's a lot of lumdas. This is kedushin Torah.
Right, but it has relevance.
No, but the point is, I'm not sure it's relevant or not. But the point is, it's not clear. You're assuming, and you may be right, you're invited to come to Shabbos for this year. I'm saying, we're not even up to it yet, don't worry, we're only on Daf Tes. I'm just saying, and I don't know if we'll go straight, that'll be a vote that the shir will have to take, after we finish our last sugi here in the first parak, the first part of the first parak. But, the point is, it's a discussion of Makkah, it's not so pashut. But you're right though, it's an analogy, it's not, I don't know if it's a raya, but it's al-darach analogy. We have other examples of mitzvos This is not the first mitzvah where we declared the chakira is it the ma'aser or the totzah in a chanami. And the more you see it as just a totzah, just the result you need to have. So then obviously certain things are going to make more sense and certain things are going to be harder to explain. Just like in reverse, the more you see it as a ma'aser. So each side will have its advantages and the things it will need to contend with. Let's use now the last part of the shir to focus on a different issue, which is one that's really been the, so if you will, for those who are familiar a little bit with the sugya, the elephant in the living room, which we haven't yet gotten to, and now we will confront. What is the mitzvah? So it's assuming it's midirei sofrim, it's not midaraisa. And assuming that you have to light, or it just has to be lit. But what's the mitzvah? Minei obey. What's the kiyum? How do you, what box do you check this off in? So the Rambam in the beginning of Perek Lamed, Halacha Aleph, Hilcho Shabbos, tells us that when it comes to Shabbos, there are four categories of mitzvos. Two da'araisa, and two midivra kabbalah, or two midivra rabbanon. The two da'araisa, of course, are Zakar v'shamor, right? The aseis and melos aseis of Shabbos, the malachos issue, chiyuv kiddush, things like that. And then, there's also two mitzvos, midivra rabbanon. And we're not talking about Isurim Durabanon, because those are subsumed under the category of the Malachos, and or Muksa, which is maybe its own category. But then you have Mitzvos Midurabanon, which are from the Pasuk of Navi, that of Kavod and of Oneg. And the question is, assuming that it is Midivrei Sofrim, which one of the Kiyumim is Nero Shabbos? Is it a Din in Kavod Shabbos, or is it a Din in Oneg Shabbos? And by way of analyzing this question, inevitably, we will have to get to the question which is related, which is, what is the difference between Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos? So the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noach, right in the beginning of the Parsha, says, quoting the Pasuk, that Neros v'karsel Shabbos Oneg, Neros are a din in Oneg Shabbos. The Yalkut Shemoni on our Parsha, on the second Pasuk, Perches Halacha Beis, right in our Parsha, Remez Tuf Reish, Tuf Shin Yud Tes, the same Yalkut we quoted at the beginning of this year, says, nope, it's not Oneg Shabbos, it's Kavod Shabbos. A Mamish, a Machlokas, a Midrashim right off the bat. If we're going to think it's a Machlokas in Chazal and Midrashim, it may even be a Machlokas Chazal in a Halachic context. If Yosef Engel in a Tzionim LaTorah suggests that the Machlokes Tanoim in Maseches Psachim Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis is also relevant. What's that Machlokes? The Machlokes is there as follows. Leave aside Aaron Minogis, which is to light candles, right? Every Yom Kippur we light candles. But that's a Machlokes. It's not at all poshut that you light candles. And in fact, there's a Machlokes Tanoim. Assuming you don't light candles every other Yom Kippur, what about when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos? And there is a machlokas. Do you say, no, if you fall on our Shabbos, Mishum Shabbos, you have to light? Or do you say, no, if you never light on Yom Kippur, you never light this year Yom Kippur either? That's a machlokas in Maseches Psachim. Comes along the verse of Engel, he says that machlokas Tanayim is the same issue. Because listen, he assumes, we'll see again how this might be relevant later in the shir a little bit, he assumes that Oneg, it relates to food, right? I mean, it does to me. That shouldn't need much explanation. Oneg relates to food. So he says, obviously there's no Oneg on Yom Kippur. So if the reason that you had to light candles every week was because of Oneg, so it makes sense why you don't light it on usual years. It even makes sense why that's why you don't light it on usual years. But it's also going to make sense, therefore, that it's not going to be lit here because there's never, if it's always Oneg, and there's never going to be any actual Oneg on Yom Kippur, even if it's Shabbos. However, if you say that the reason that we light candles in general is covered because of Kavod, so there may not be any mitzvah of Kavod on a regular Yom Kippur. Kavod's only a halacha on Shabbos. But this year, when Yom Kippur happens to be on Shabbos, so why not light? What do you have to lose? You'll get some Kavod Shabbos. So that could be another way that this machlokas, not just machlokas in Midrashim, may even be machlokas Tanaim there. And finally, just to show you how early this machlokas may go back, before we get into the famous Rishonim a little bit, the Beis Halevi is a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Yud Aleph, and he suggests that perhaps there's a machlokas Abai and Rava on Shabbos Daf Chof Hayam at Beis. It's kind of almost, it's a combination of a halachic slash agadic gemara. It tells a story, and there it has to do a little bit with the certain fuels. This is a little bit the messing lights topic, which I had promised her I wasn't talking about, so I can't. But from the Mishnah and Bemeh Madlikin. So there, this says you can't. I think it was Itran that was the example in the Gemara there. So one opinion says, well, you can't light because we're worried it's going to smell bad, and then you'll leave the room. I think it's Abaye who says, and so what? Who cares? Who cares if you leave? So the Beis Halevi says this is all the connected machlokes. If you hold it's a din in oneg, again, oneg relates to food, so then you don't want you to walk out. You have to be eating by the candles. That Mand Amar holds, that was Rava, he held it's in a din in oneg. And Abaye holds it was a din in kavod, and therefore he says, what's the difference if it's near the food or not? As long as you have candles lit. If it'll smell bad, it's up in the other room. But I got candles in the living room, and they're called kavod Shabbos. So it could be a machlokes tanaim in a medrash, it could be a machlokes tanaim in a gemara, and it could even be a machlokes amaroim. But those are all kubis. It is explicitly a machlokas rishonim. What rishonim say? What? Tosfos there on that gemara, Dachlam Fayim Ebeiz in Shabbos, says you must eat in the presence of candlelights, but not as I was implying until now because of oneg. There Tosfos says explicitly, as I said before, because you light, you eat in front of, right, there's a gemara Numa, I think that says this, which we all know from our sensory perception. Eino doma, seeing what you're eating to not... It's a different hano when you can see also. So if you have the light while you're at the table, so then it's a different, you enjoy the chicken a little bit better. The prima gadim. I'm sure Miriam's chicken soup is delicious no matter what. Okay, that's then on the record for the tape. The prima gadim says the following. We mentioned different types of oils. What about shemen orla? Orla is aser bahana. So mitzad echad you'll say, you can light with orla after all. Mitzvah hav lehenes nitnu, says the prima gadim, no, because this is a mitzvah that's lehenes nitnu, it's for oneg, and therefore you're not allowed to use shemen orla. So these achronim and rishonim all say it's oneg Shabbos. However, the smag says explicitly it's kavod Shabbos. Rashi on that same gemara doesn't say like Tosfos seems to say it's kavod oneg. Rashi says it's kavod Shabbos. Back and forth they're volleying, and what might be again ultimately even a machlokas tanaim, definitely a machlokas rishonim. Where this machlokes got its most famous expression is Shitas HaRambam. Because the Rambam doesn't seem to be arguing with the Tanaim, doesn't seem to be arguing with the Amoraim, doesn't necessarily seem to be arguing with the Rishonim. The Rambam seems to be arguing with himself. The Rambam in Perek Hey Halacha Aleph, discussing Hilchos Oneg Shabbos, and says you have to light Shabbos candles, Zel Michlal Oneg. Says explicitly, Shabbos candles are part of Oneg Shabbos. However, in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Hey, the Rambam's Halacha Hey, the Rambam's talking about how you have to clean up your house and make your bed and everything, and that's because of and then he throws in and you have to light the candles, and then he ends off that Halacha, and all of these are Mipnei Kvodo Shel Shabbos. Mamish, you don't get a more black and white stira than this.
Oh, it's both.
Okay, don't shoot me. What does that mean? Stam? Just thrown out to dinim? What does that mean? How could it be both? What does that mean? Oh, we don't know exactly. Okay, good. Very good. Very good. Right. What's the difference? What is the difference between the two of them to begin with? So, the Aruch HaShulchan says it's... Huh? Okay, good. Good. You get to it. That's the famous answer. Famous in my mind. I don't know what to say. The Aruch HaShulchan says it depends what room you're in. If it's where you're eating, that's Oneg Shabbos. But if it's anywhere else in the house, that is kavod Shabbos. One answer. The Chida says it's not a din in which room, it depends on the person. And it's never by definition both, it just depends on who you are. Namely, oneg, he says, is always a little bit more than you're used to. And if you're used to having tuna fish and you have chicken, that's an oneg. If you're used to having chicken and you have a steak, that's an oneg. And if you're always used to having steak, so having more steak is fine, but it's not oneg. Oneg is something extra. So says the Chida, if you're used to having light in your house, so you still have to have light on Shabbos, but now you're doing it dafka lechvod Shabbos. But if you don't usually have light in your house, Nebuch, and when it gets dark, it's just dark. Oh, comes along Friday night and you have light. That's then, it's oneg Shabbos. That's his suggestion. And finally, the third answer, which as I say, perhaps is the most well known, maybe not, I don't know, and has a variety of very interesting, if you will, as we say, bedfellows who say this svara. Most well known, though, is in what they call the Grach al Hashas, or the stencil. So, in certain older editions, I think it's page 331 or something. In my edition, it's right on the beginning, page 5, Simen Yud Aleph. There, it's a little one paragraph piece in the name of Revelvel, the Briskerov. And he says it's both. But he adds something to it. What does that mean, it's both? He says, because they have different connotations. Kavod Shabbos is what you do for Shabbos before Shabbos. That's how you show honors, you prepare for it. Oneg Shabbos are things you do and enjoy on Shabbos itself. I don't have a Lashon in front of me, but if you look in the two Rambams, It's mamish. It's not just throwing darts at the wall, two dinim, whatever. It's meduyuk in the lashon. At Perek Lamed, the Rambam's talking about all the things you do. You clean up the house, etc. Before Shabbos. And at Perek Hey, the Rambam's talking about all the things you do specifically on Shabbos. So in a typical Shabbos, says the Brisker Rav, you actually get both kiyumim. Perhaps that's the origins, again, aside from Tosefta Shabbos, other things, but that's one of the advantages of lighting before Shkia. When you light before Shkia, those 18 minutes or whatever are your Kavod Shabbos. But then, as long as it lasts, another hour, two, three, on Shabbos itself, that's Onik Shabbos. And in fact, he says the following thing, just to flesh it out, he says, Lu Yitzuyer, you could light candles on Shabbos itself, then you'd only have the kiyum of Oneg. And when is that not just a Lu Yitzuyer? Yontif, exactly. Then it's only an Oneg. Again, without getting into details, is there Oneg on Yontif or not? But in theory, that would be a Hechatimsa. Lu Yitzuyer, you could have it. Again, it works out beautifully. Now, it happens to be that in a very short line in Hechas Yontif, the Gra already seems to say this. And as I say, the strange Shidduch, if you will, is that Rab Tzadok HaKohen, that one, the Chassidish one, Rab Tzadok, so he has an essay called Shvusas HaShabbos, which is in the back of the Pri Yitzchak on Sefer Bereishis. So he basically says something very, very, very similar as well. The Kavod is before Shabbos, Oneg is on Shabbos. Moreover, getting back to our woman with who's running late, the Kala or someone else, so the Chuvas Pnei Maven says, in such a case, if the woman is late and she has to rely on the Goy, etc., so again, leave aside the issues we saw before, but he ties it into this, and he says, well, if that's the case, then she's certainly not Yotzei Kavod Shabbos, because she didn't do anything before Shabbos. But the fact that the candles are lit in her house on Shabbos means that she'll get Oneg Shabbos from that. Now this, and with this we will close, this may very well, I'm not sure, each time I think about this, I like it a little bit more, and the next time I think about it, I like it a little bit less. So hopefully it'll come out a little more this time. You'll tell me if you don't like it. It may very well be that this machlokes is connected to the previous one. Meaning we had two major machlokes in here. Number one was, is there a maisa mitzvah or is it just a totzah? The second issue we discussed is it just a din in kavod? Whatever that means, we'll call that before Shabbos for now. Let's focus on that one. The Brisker Rav, the Vilna Gaon, before Shabbos? Or is it just onik Shabbos, which is what happens and you enjoy on Shabbos? So one could suggest the following. If Oneg means, as we said, the enjoyment you have from the candles that are lit on Shabbos, then perhaps that more closely aligns itself with the position that all we care about is you should have a ner dolek. It should be lit. As long as it's lit. Let me say it this way. This is maybe is the best way to argue it. It can't, if the focus of that kiyum is on Shabbos itself, then obviously it can't be focused on the Maisa, because the Maisa is prohibited on Shabbos itself. So if the kiyum only exists, like according to the Gra and the Brisker Rav, the kiyum of Oneg Shabbos does not exist on Friday for 1 second. Oneg begins the second Shabbos starts and not a minute before. So l'cha'ora, it's mochroch that it can't be the Maisa Hadlaka, because the Maisa Hadlaka is osur on Shabbos. Rather, you have to make sure that you have light on Shabbos, whether that means you lit it when or your monkey lit it, it doesn't matter, l'cha'ora. Again, perhaps you'll draw a line somewhere else. I'm just saying this as a reductio ad absurdum, just to flesh out the point. The bottom line is, this would seem to, again, I'm not saying it's exactly the exact same thing, but I'm saying it goes along with the assumption that it's just the din and the totzah that the candle should be lit. On the other hand, and this one is not maybe as mukhruch, but I'll make the best case I can for it, if you assume that kavod means that you have to do something before Shabbos, so perhaps that means, and we do have some indications, I didn't mention them, but we do have indications that perhaps that means that you need a maisa, because only that way is it nikar that you're doing something for Shabbos. This idea that you don't have a kiyum of kavod Shabbos, unless it's nikar, you're doing it for Shabbos, that's a well-known idea. There are other examples. It may very well go back even to Shammai. Right? Shammai used to find a nice shtick flesh on Sunday for Shabbos. The longer he went closer, he went to Shabbos, he kept on changing, and part of the reason was, as the Achronim say, even in terms of Bezman Hazeh, where everything is readily available, unless you're talking like the Islamic meltaway cake or something, but for the most part, things are available in the beginning of the week and at the end of the week, so they say you should davka buy it closer to Shabbos, because that makes it more mukhruch that it's nikar, that you're buying it for Shabbos. There's a certain kiyum in the covered Shabbos if it's nikar. again, there's a certain element that's subjective to that. So the more you assume that it has to be done in honor of Shabbos before Shabbos, then the more you need an actual maaser to do that. The fact that a candle just happens to be lit, to use the machlokas we had in Tosfos, a candle's lit at 2 o'clock in the afternoon just to say, well, that'll keep on being lit. Okay, so according to that Manda Amar, are you going to say that that's covered Shabbos as the Brisk Rav understands it? I didn't even do anything for Shabbos. L'chora, to be covered Shabbos, I have to sweep the house for Shabbos and water the grass for Shabbos and make the beds for Shabbos. I have to do something. Just things that are already done. If the house was clean on Monday, and then we went away on vacation, and it's still clean when we came back Friday right before Shabbos, it's good that it's clean. But that's not covered Shabbos. I didn't do anything. L'chora, covered Shabbos means that I have to do something for Shabbos. And therefore, it could be that covered relates to the shita that says it's a maisa. And oneg relates to the shita that it's a totsa'ah. And as I just indicated, perhaps then, if we want to go back to, again, perhaps the most illustrative of all the machlokas we saw, is that very one of Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam. If you have a ner lit from earlier in the day, so what happens? Do you have to extinguish it and relight it, like Rabbeinu Tam said? Or can you just let it go? So we at the time said that's a machlokas, so we need a maisa, according to Rabbeinu Tam, or it's just enough to have lit candles, according to Tosfos. The other mandamra, I think he's anonymous in Tosfos, if I remember correctly. But now I'm just giving another layer. I'm not retracting that. I'm saying, and perhaps that gufa, that machlokas, is connected to this machlokas. Namely, Rabbeinu Tam holds you need a maisa because you also did in covid. And the other Baal Tosfos holds, no, you don't necessarily need a maisa because it's only did in oneg, i.e. as long as it's lit on Shabbos, that is sufficient. Now, how do we paskin? We seem to paskin. It's not 100% clear to me. We either paskin it's a din in covid, or I think more likely we actually paskin perhaps it's both. And therefore we actually take, again, there's not really chumras per se for oneg because it's already on Shabbos, so there's nothing to do. But some of these things like the Rabbeinu Tam and others, the Nusach of Lahadlik, for example, we certainly are machmir to involve the Maisa. There's no question about that. Again, I don't know if this is exactly connected, but we know, certainly those of us with daughters, there's a very famous machlokes, and to this very day, very different minhagim, whether single daughters light or not. Right? I think there's even different stories to think about what they do, what they didn't risk. But Lamaisa, right now, it's most well known as everyone in Chabad. It's not the only issue. Right? So Chabad's very famous, the Rebbe was a big, that all single girls should light. And there's, I wouldn't say it's on the other way 100%, but many, many, many other people who aren't Chabad don't have the single girl. Yeah, that's what Chabad they're very into. That's what the Lubavitcher girls, I don't know how young they started. I have to ask from a Kaplan, but they're very into lighting even katanas. And most, I don't know about everybody, but most other people who aren't Lubavitch, the single girls do not light. L'chora, this may, again, I'm not saying it's Chabad Atalia, but this may also be another factor in that. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, Parshas Baal Oschah.